it's important to hear from community members. I think they should have a voice in government and in designing the places that they're going to live. Hi, this is Judy Barnes, and you are listening to Neighborhood Report. The Neighborhood Report you're about to hear is a follow-up to a broadcast aired in November regarding traffic and parking issues in the Grange Hill East neighborhood. I met with community members in the neighborhood, and our first neighborhood report in November reflected their concerns and issues with parking and traffic in this newly formed neighborhood. I've sent emails to various counselors. I've connected with city staff, Joanne Starr, the manager of traffic services and the transportation department. I've also connected via email with Chris Davrient, who is the senior development planner with the city. And I've also been reading some newspaper articles about other urban planners and what their ideas are for viable neighborhoods. Councillor Bert Whistle, I sent him 5 extensive questions, and his immediate response was to forward my questions to city staff the day that he received my email. So I would hope that councillors would respond to questions from the public. For Faro, I sent him an email and got, this is in November, and got absolutely no response. I followed up with another email in December, got absolutely no response again, not even a no comment. And I'm a little frustrated because we have been meeting as a community in Ward 1 in the Grange Hill East neighborhood since June, July of last year monthly, and he has not attended any of those meetings. So I'm quite upset that he didn't even forward on my email. Before I was part of the neighborhood group, I've also left him telephone messages, which he has not returned. I actually, in my second email to Councillor Furfaro, I mentioned and quoted from the CUF report saying that it was his recommendation that councillors respond in a respectful, timely manner to both public and taxpayers, and asked Councillor Furfaro to comment on that, and still I got no response. Mm-hmm. I would like to give credit where credit is due, and would like to mention that Laura Bailey, the councillor in Ward 1, has attended all of the Neighborhood Association meetings when I asked her if a response would be possible on some of my questions with traffic and parking. She responded that, you know, if I would like her to comment, she would readily do that. And it's also my understanding that it was her initiative to start the Neighborhood Association. Councillor Bert Whistle forwarded my questions onto a number of city staff, and the two that responded were Joanne Starr and Chris Devrett. Joanne Starr responded promptly. However, I got the feeling from both of them that a lot of their answers were not connected to my original questions and seemed to be cut and paste from policies. So for some of the questions, I didn't really get a true answer. My questions were developed and the responses were short policy quotes in some cases. I did have a telephone interview with Joanne Starr where a number of other questions were answered.
Good afternoon, traffic. Joanne speaking.
Hi, Joanne. It's Judy Barnes calling from CFRU.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Good, thanks.
Do you have a few minutes to answer my questions?
Sure.
Great. Thank you, Joanne.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for speaking with us today as a follow-up to a community report concerning traffic and parking concerns in the Grange Hill East neighborhood. that was aired on CFRU on November 10th, 2004. Were traffic management techniques such as traffic circles, median islands, pinch points considered in the newly developed areas?
Generally, when they do go up in new subdivisions, it's generally the developer who proposes them.
I don't know if
I go by off my memory, I don't believe there's any of those kind of measures in the neighborhood. And if there is, then it would have been built by the or installed by the developer.
I understand that a public review process is possible for neighborhoods who desire implementation of traffic management measures. How does a neighborhood begin this process?
Yeah, what you're referring to is our policy with regards to looking at putting traffic calming measures in neighborhoods. So it's the policy is specifically for streets that are classified as local or a collector, two-lane collector roadways. So those are the streets that are more tend to be more residential or within a neighborhood. They're not the busier streets, the arterial roadways like Starwood and Grange Road. So, for instance, in this neighborhood, Auden Road, Watt Street, Chesterton Lane, those are types of streets that this policy would be available to. And what it allows residents to do is residents who feel that they have a concern with issues generally involving speeding vehicles on their street, and or perhaps shortcutting of vehicles on their street, then this policy is available to them. And what they do is they can approach the city, either give us a phone call or write in, and we will send out a petition, and they have to just petition the residents to find out if the residents do support initiating a public process with the residents of the street. And then if they do, if they meet that, we put it against the criteria, and there's a criteria, for example, we'll go out there and we'll measure the volume and the speed of traffic on the street, and we'll apply that against the criteria. If they meet the criteria, then they can go on and we'll do a review with the residents of their street, and we'll look at various traffic calming measures. And those measures might be, for example, the median islands that you see in the newer neighborhoods down the South End, for instance. They might be traffic circles or those kind of measures that can help deal with issues on those streets.
It's my understanding that there's already a rather long list of neighborhoods waiting for this process to begin. Is this true?
That is correct. We presently have about, I believe in total, it's about 25 streets at the moment. Now, in saying that, there's a number of those streets that we can actually group together. They might be all in the same area. And to give you a direct example is we have some streets in the Elizabeth York Road area, specifically Ontario Street, Toronto, Neve, and Alice Streets in that area, and then we'll be dealing with those four streets together. But we are working with neighborhoods at the moment, and we're actually just starting some new reviews. Actually, just this week we have one starting for Water Street, and in the new year we'll also be starting up a review for the streets that I mentioned, which is Alice, Neve, Ontario, and Toronto Streets.
Assuming that a neighborhood has obtained the necessary 50% of affected residents,
mm-hmm.
and they've approached the city requesting the traffic calming measures, how long would it be before the review process is initiated?
Because as you mentioned, we do have a long list. Unfortunately, it could be 2, even 3 years, realistically. But what we do have in place is we have what's called a interim temporary measure or traffic calming measure policy. And what that is basically those streets that do meet the petition criteria, and they also meet the criteria that we measure them against. So if, for example, for a local street, either their volume is greater than 900 vehicles a day, or if the operating speeds of the street, if they're above a certain speed, then we will go ahead and put in what we refer to as always stops, and we'll put them in as a temporary measure where we can, and those will remain in place until we're able to actually do the formal public process with that street or with the residents of that street And then at that time, residents will also be able to look at what other measures are available. So the always stops are considered a temporary measure that we will put in place until we're able to deal with that neighborhood in a formal way.
It's my understanding, though, that on arterial roadways, always stops can't be used. Is that correct?
Well, I'll give you an example. That's not totally correct in
okay.
that we will put in always stops if it's necessary from a safety point of view, and it's basically it's considered a temporary step before a full traffic signal will be implemented. On Starwood
yes.
and Grange, we have put in an always stop.
Yes.
And that is because at that particular location, the traffic volumes are starting to increase, and the traffic volumes, the key thing too, is that the traffic volumes on Starwood versus Grange, they're equally distributed. So because of that, it actually meets the criteria for putting in an always stop under that scenario, which in this case, it's the always stop's going in as an interim measure before a full traffic signal. The criteria for a full traffic signal will be met. So it's basically down the road sometime, there will be a full traffic signal, and then once it meets that criteria, we'll go ahead and put that in.
I know that there are community members that are concerned about the speeding at Auden and Grange. Is
yes.
it too close to the always stop at Starwood and Grange to put in another one?
I don't have the distance off the top of my head. Just to give you an idea, generally, we do have guidelines that the province sets for the spacing of traffic signals themselves. And generally, you try to discourage from having traffic signals within less than 250 meters of each other. Because if you don't have that, then it gets into issues. You have to make sure that they're synchronized and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. with regards to Auden at Grange, we have looked at that particular intersection in the past. It does not currently meet the criteria for an always stop.
In terms of the volume?
In terms of the volume, yes, you're correct. And so that's why we currently don't have. There's always the possibility that sometime down the line in the future that it could, as volumes increase, or perhaps if, for example, the area developed even further, it could be warranted, but at this time it doesn't meet that criteria, and it's for that reason that staff do not recommend or support putting in an all-way at this time.
Okay. Lastly, and you've mentioned this at the beginning of our interview, but Holy Trinity Separate School is located on Grange, and one of the proposed sites for the East Guelph Elementary Accommodation Review
yes.
is for another public school to be built on Grange Road. But Grange Road has been deemed an arterial road, and I see this as a conflict, having two schools on an arterial road. You mentioned that the city has put in place a cross at Buckthorn and Grange for Holy Trinity.
Yes.
But I'm wondering if there are other measures, considering that it is a proposed site for another school, are there other measures that might be taken to ensure student safety as well as safety of other residents on Grange?
Well, certainly with any school, what we obviously look at is we want to make sure that children can walk there safely. So, for example, we do have already an intersection pedestrian signal, but we would generally make sure that there are places where the children can cross safely, either through a designated school crossing or in the case of a busier roadway such as arterial roadways, that there is some type of signal which would regulate how traffic interacts and helps to provide a safe crossing for the children.
Great. Thank you, Joanne, for talking to us today. I want to also thank you for clarifying the information around some of the traffic concerns in the Grange Hill East neighborhood.
You're very welcome.
Have a good afternoon.
Okay, you too.
Thanks, Joanne.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's
important to hear from community members. I think they should have a voice in government and in designing the places that they're going to live. I think they get left out of the process. It's between the city, the developer, and the people that live in the actual neighborhoods don't have a say. And so I'm hoping some of the concerns that are raised will have an impact on changing some of our policies in regards to development.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day.